From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It wasn't always this way, where most members of the LDS Church align themselves with the Republican Party. Historically, Mormons have been remarkably diverse in their political leanings. But experts say about 40 years ago, things began to change. Over time, moral issues came to be seen as the purview of the GOP, and a majority of Mormons got on board. The Democratic Party's positions on abortion and gay rights has been an obstacle, but party leaders have been trying to convince the faithful that their agenda is actually more in line with LDS values. Today in the program, we're broadcasting a conversation we recorded last week about the intersection of religion and politics. We had lawmakers join us on the campus of Utah Valley University to discuss how they reconcile their religious values with their political ideas. Join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. An extensive study by the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life was released last week. They surveyed more than 1,000 LDS members on issues ranging from how they interpret their religion to their views on marriage and politics. There's a lot of information that came out of the survey. One part of it was no surprise at all, that most Mormons consider themselves politically conservative. Studies show that in the United States, if you're LDS, you're 3 times more likely to be a Republican than a Democrat. In Utah, that number is 9 times. And the question is why? Today in the program, we're broadcasting a conversation that we recorded last week on the campus of Utah Valley University. We were talking about the intersection of religion and politics. And we should point out that this being Utah, we were talking about one religion in particular. We partnered with the community organization Alliance for a Better Utah, and we had with us a group of legislators, all members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They joined us to discuss how they reconcile their religious values with their political beliefs. Also, we were examining how party rhetoric, party platforms, align with the values and the history of their church. We had 2 Republicans and 2 Democrats. Among the Democrats was Carol Spackman Moss, who has served 6 terms as the Democratic representative of State House District 37. Ben McAdams was with us. He is a Democrat who represents Utah's 2nd District in the State Senate. He's also a candidate for Salt Lake County Mayor. Among the Republicans, Holly Richardson, a Republican political blogger and a campaign advisor to U.S. Senate candidate Dan Lilienquist. She recently resigned from her position as the representative of State District 57. And we had with us Howard Stevenson, the long-serving Republican representative of State Senate District 11. But we began with Quinn Monson. He is the associate director of Brigham Young University's Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy. He teaches political science at Brigham Young University. So let's start with, we hear, of course, Mormons are overwhelmingly conservative. I suppose you can document that. It's true, right?
You can document that through a host of sources. We have oodles of Utah exit poll data over the years that say the very same thing. Mormons are overwhelmingly identifying with the Republican Party and overwhelmingly self-identifying as conservative. And that correlation is something that took hold starting in the 50s and 60s and really solidified in the 70s and 80s and has continued relatively unabated over the last couple of decades.
So the question is, I guess it's obvious in some ways, but what is appealing about conservative ideology for most Mormons? I mean, is it social issues, things like, you know, abortion and gay rights, or is it also, there's that economic component, you know, unfettered markets and deregulation and, you know, lowering tax rates, those kinds of things? Do we know where Mormons are on that continuum?
We do know a lot about where Mormons are on those things. I think the culprit for what started the trend is changing attitudes on social issues. And part of it is that the LDS Church, the Mormon Church, has been relatively constant on these issues.
On social issues,
right? Opposing abortion in almost all cases, with some exceptions. More lately, it's been opposition to gay marriage, but socially conservative. I think what's changed over the years is the context around that, where those issues became more important, starting with the 1960s and the sexual revolution, starting then continuing with the abortion controversy, the Roe v. Wade decision in the 70s, and moving forward to more recent years with gay marriage. And so the church has been pretty consistent there. What's been different is the political parties nationally. And I don't want to say nationally because we can get to Utah in a minute. But nationally, the parties had components in the 60s that were pro-life and pro-choice, both mm-hmm. parties, right? And it was only in the after Roe v. Wade that the parties split and became more defined on the abortion issue. So Republicans.
So the point is, though, that we can understand this through the social issues. That's the thing.
We can understand it through the social issues, but we can also understand it through the lens of the parties shifted,
right?
And their message became, on the one hand, more friendly to this social conservatism and less friendly at the national level.
But how does economic issues? Okay, the social issues, that makes sense. There's sort of a moral component to it. But why are Mormons so ideologically conservative when it comes to economic issues, when they have such a deep history of, you know, communitarianism, dealing with the poor, redistributing, dare I say, wealth, for example? How does that work?
There is a communitarian part of Mormon theology. I think part of how it works is that that's been, you could say it's been de-emphasized in some ways. You could also say that there's been a heightened emphasis on self-reliance. And so the way that I see it happening in terms of how the church talks about it is it's not caring for the poor with government. It seems to be emphasizing caring for the poor.
Yes, you should care for the
yes.
poor, but do it yourself.
But or not specifying how it should be done
right.
necessarily, and just finding ways to do it. But then there's heavy emphasis on self-reliance, and you see some of that in how government programs are talked about. I think the welfare reform that happened in the 90s under President Clinton was a big shift towards emphasizing self-reliance, if you want to think of it in those terms.
Yeah.
But I think that. Also, that the emphasis has been on these social issues and not
so much
heavily
on that.
On the economic.
Is there an opening for Democrats to take hold of that economic component? If they lose on social issues, can they gain some ground on that other part?
They might be able to. I think that there's some opportunity there, but they can't. If you want to think about it in Utah terms, the numbers are so daunting.
Yeah.
That you can't be unfriendly on the social issues. A Democrat to win in Utah in an overwhelming Republican district or even a competitive district is going to have to be at least somewhat moderate on these social issues. And we've seen examples of that. The Exhibit A is Jim Matheson, who, when you ask him about abortion, his answer invariably will be something along the lines of, and I've heard him say this probably a dozen times at different settings, well, my position is the same as the LDS Church. I allow for some exceptions, but I oppose it, right?
Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker was quoted by the Salt Lake Tribune, Lee Davidson, the reporter there, is saying that he didn't think Mormons are different from people of other faiths in their approach to making decisions about politics. And Lee Davidson quoted him as saying, all of us are affected. All of us are affected by our values and principles in terms of how we look at the world. So Quinn Monson, the question, are Mormons any more inclined then to be influenced by their religious values than any other religion? I mean, some would say it's a more involved faith. It's a more involved life when you are a member of the LDS Church than most mainstream Protestant faiths. So are Mormons more inclined?
I would say yes and no. How's that for a squirrely answer? And the reason I'd say that is that I think what you would see is that if you compared Mormons of the same level of religiosity with other religious people with the same level of religiosity, you would see a similar sort of size of effect. And so the question is, what you're alluding to is that Mormons in general are more religious. It's what sociologists call a strict church. There's a lot of demands placed on you. If you want to be an active Mormon, there's several hours a week that you got to show up and do stuff.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, it might be more important for Mormons than everyday Americans who don't, do 3 hours of church every Sunday and volunteer in a calling a couple hours a week and so on. But for people who are doing a similar level of involvement in their religious faith, I bet their values play every bit as an important role.
Okay, Quinn Monson, stay with us. Let me introduce the rest of the panel. Carol Spackman Moss is with us. She served 6 terms as the Democratic representative of State House District 37. Carol Spackman Moss, welcome. Thanks very much for being
with
us.
Thank you very much.
Ben McAdams is a Democrat, represents Utah's 2nd District in the State Senate, also an attorney and a candidate for Salt Lake County Mayor. And Ben McAdams, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
I hope I pointed out that Carol Spackman Moss is a Democrat, didn't I? Yes. So those are the Dems. Okay. Holly Richardson is a Republican political blogger, a campaign advisor to U.S. Senate candidate Dan Lillenquist. She recently resigned from her position as the representative of District 57. Holly Richardson, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And State Senator Howard Stevenson is with us, the long-serving Republican representative of Senate District 11. Senator, welcome to you. Thanks for being
with
us. Ben McAdams, let's start with you. Why are you a Democrat? And was that decision at all influenced by your LDS faith?
Yeah, I often tell people that I'm a Democrat not in spite of my LDS faith, but because of my LDS faith. When I look at issues, you know, certainly there, I think no political party aligns 100% with the values of mainstream LDS. However, when I look at issues, the issues that drive me, that I find that I'm passionate about, are issues of public education and how we're going to...
But Senator, Republicans also believe in public education to some level. So of your LDS faith?
Yeah.
In what way?
Well, education, first of all, Joseph Smith says that the glory of God is intelligence. I think that a public education is not only good public policy, but it's a religious value that if people are educated, you know, we as a member of the church, I believe that we seek after learning from the best books. We seek to advance ourselves, and that's how we bring the individual, and to speak on a spiritual level, how the soul develops. And I think education is a key part of that. Now, there is a role for government. When, you know, DNC Section 134 says that governments were instituted of God for the benefit of men. I believe in a limited government, but I believe there's a role for government. Churches cannot provide the public education and education needs that we need in our society, in our community. We're a complex and large community, and churches may have been able to provide that a couple of hundred years ago, but today our society is larger and more complex, and there's a role for government for the benefit of man.
Let me ask Holly Richardson that same question, although with a different party, of course. Why are you a Republican? And was that decision, those values, informed by your LDS faith?
Yeah, it absolutely was. And, you know, I don't know how much bantering you want to do up here, because I don't like to be boring. So I had some comebacks for Senator McAdams here, because if he's limited government and he's pro-family, then he's in the wrong party. So come on over. The water's fine. You know, for me, one of the things that was interesting is it was a natural evolution. I did not grow up in a very politically active family, in the sense that we didn't sit around and talk policy or anything like that. My parents voted on a regular basis, and I know that they voted. They didn't often tell the kids even who they were voting for. It was just kind of a natural, you know, part of life, but not one that we discussed very much. And so as I became an adult and I married and I started a family, for me, as I looked at my family values, and that was the family's the traditional fundamental unit of society, and that we do believe in self-reliance, we believe in taking care of our own and doing as much as possible. I would say I value education very highly, but I don't think it's the government's responsibility necessarily to have a one-size-fits-all for every person, which is why I'm for educational choice. Over the years, I have had my kids in private school, public school, traditional public school, charter school, and I've homeschooled for a dozen years. So that was what worked for our family, is the ability to make choices, and I find that accountability and personal choice is more embraced by the Republican Party. However, as we look at kind of our fundamental goals, I mean, do we want people to be educated? Absolutely. Do we want a safety net? I'm somebody who says absolutely we need a safety net, and that there is a role for government, but it is limited.
It's well, we're going to talk about the role of government as we go, but so values, self-reliance, those kinds of things, yeah. You heard maybe from the pulpit or wherever that influenced the way you filtered through your decision to become a Republican.
Yeah, and I would say for me, it wasn't something where it was an overnight decision. Oh my gosh, I have to decide, am I a Republican or am I a Democrat?
Yeah.
It was, I am naturally conservative. I'm fiscally conservative. We try to balance our budget on the family level. And I think that as we look, especially in Utah, we do a good job of balancing our budget. I think we prioritize sometimes differently, but I think we look at waste, fraud, and abuse as well, and we look at areas. There are areas in public education that are full of waste and that are not actually getting the water to the end of the row, down to the kids where they need it. And are there ways we can be adaptive and resourceful? But on a federal level, I think there's a very fundamental difference between the fiscally conservative arm of the Republican Party and the Democrats right now. But over the last
it's true, but let's talk about the Mormon part. Are Mormons more fiscally conservative?
Yeah, I would say we are. Stay out of debt. Live within your means. You know, have some.
So that's a Republican value.
Absolutely.
Okay. Carol Spackman Moss, why are you a Democrat? And how much did your Mormonism influence the fact that you became a Democrat?
It influenced it a great deal. When I've been reflecting on this the last few days, thinking about this, my background, born in Ogden, to a Mormon family with roots in Murray, by the way, and in Mexico, who left this country to escape prosecution, moved down there where part of the Romney family is. This is all part of my heritage, and I grew up in Ogden, which was a Democratic stronghold. My grandfather was an iron worker. Over the years, he saw attempts to improve working conditions and fought for those. I was influenced by John F. Kennedy. As cliche as it might sound now, I was thrilled when I heard him say, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." I was an impressionable high school student, but that's never left me. So I identified with that kind of value. Civil rights. I was thrilled with the civil rights movement.
And, yeah, but did that have anything to do with your Mormonism?
Well, at times it put me at odds with my Mormonism. But then I left Utah, and so I grew up outside of Utah for my adolescent years and came back here for college. So my views were tested. I was the minority, and that was a change for me, and I had to defend my values. But I also was more tolerant and liberal toward other people's points of view. I came back here to college, and I felt that sort of smug satisfaction, if you will, in people that are all comfortable being the same and having people around that were same, and I kind of resisted that. But then I became a teacher, and all those things, I think, relate to helping people, looking out for someone for the greater good, all those kind of things. And living in Ogden, which had a huge federal presence, so many people, my neighbors all worked at Hillfield, I'd never had the sense that government was the enemy or the problem, and it all fit very nicely into my Mormon faith. Helping others, serving your neighbors, that's what I decided to do with my life, to serve others, and I did for over 30 years.
And that's one of the reasons you became a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Senator Stevenson, to that question, what influence did your faith have on your decision? I don't know, did you make a decision to be a Republican, or have you always been one? And what relationship did that have to do with your worldview, your sense of faith?
Before I answer that, I need to apologize to my dear departed grandmother, who taught her grandchildren that you're not to speak of politics or religion in polite company. And today we're doing both.
That's right.
And by the way, I am so grateful for good Democrats in the church. I think the church's missionary effort alone is enhanced by this church being perceived as a big tent, which it is. And I'm glad that my Democrat colleagues didn't get the memo on agency, that they didn't read the scripture about the idea that we are to act and not be acted upon. In their bleeding heart liberalism, they want to take care of people rather than enabling people to suffer the consequences of their actions.
And that's not a Mormon value, taking care of people?
No, it is.
Down? It is.
But it's a voluntary taking care of, not compulsion.
Ah,
see,
that's
when
your,
when
that's
we exercise compulsion to get people to be good, to be charitable, we are not only hurting the recipient of the benefit, but we are hurting the giver as well. We have created an entitlement mentality rather than the idea that private charities would take care of people.
So for you, the clincher is the problem, obstacle, I suppose, is that difference between what is public and what is private. Absolutely be charitable, be compassionate, but don't let the government impose these kinds of ideas. Ben McAdams, how do you respond to that? That the government, yeah, it's great to be compassionate, but don't make the government be the source of that.
You know, there's a role for government. There are things that government can do, and there are things that that charities can do. And I, charities can't educate the populace. The charities can't care for all of the masses. Charities can't provide health care. And generations ago, it was the churches that provided hospitals, and that's just not happening today.
They've been displaced. They've been displaced by government. I believe in the goodness of the American people that we would step up and take care of people, but rather than doing it through an entitlement, it would be done through something that provides the care that ensures that the people receiving it are actually grateful rather than resentful.
There's a question, I think, of scope. I think I would certainly agree that government should be limited, but there is a role for government. I don't think government should guarantee an equal outcome for every member of society, but I do think government has a role in helping those who are less fortunate among us have at least an equal starting point. You know, I would not have gone to college were it not for government programs like a Stafford Loan and a Pell Grant. It just was not something that I could afford to help pay a mortgage and help pay bills with my family and go to college. I didn't come from a family that had money to do that and would not have gone to college were it not for a Pell Grant and a Stafford Loan. I went to college, and I think I'm now an attorney and pay taxes. I've by far repaid the benefit I received through those government services, but those government services were crucial to giving me an equal starting point where I could go to college. And now I'm a self-reliant person who would not be in this position were it not for some limited government assistance.
Quinn Monson, what are you hearing? In some ways, I'm not hearing a lot of distinctions. I mean, they're sort of parsing some particulars, but it's pretty interesting. I mean, you'd think, you know, there's some pretty different sort of they're from fairly extreme sides of the spectrum, I would have to say, but they seem like they're saying the same things in a lot of ways. What are you hearing?
Well, you have four very intelligent people up here, also very religious, who are, and all LDS, who are expressing very different political views, right?
Is this what we do? We take our ideology and make it adapt with our, you know, religious worldview? Is this just human nature?
I don't know if the causal arrow is that way or the other way around, but I guess what I would say, the summary point I would make is that it's clear to me that if you take a political ideology in its pure form, conservatism or liberalism, that neither one is going to be perfectly consistent with the teachings and theology of the LDS Church. You're going to find reasons to justify or reject both. You can find ways to give pause to the ardent conservative. You can find ways to give pause to the ardent liberal from LDS teachings and current church practices. And so maybe the answer is that Latter-day Saints ought to be sort of fierce moderates in some way and pick and choose. And that's kind of where I would come down.
Quinn Monson with us, the Associate Director of Brigham Young University's Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy. Carol Spackman Moss, the Democratic Representative of District 37 in the State House of Representatives, is with us, along with Senator Ben McAdams. He represents Utah's 2nd Senate District. Holly Richardson, Republican political campaign advisor, a blogger, and a former state representative. And Howard Stevenson with us, the Republican representative of Senate District 11. We are in the Reagan Theater on the campus of Utah Valley University, and we need to take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're on the campus of Utah Valley University talking about that intersection of religion and politics. We've partnered with the Community Organization Alliance for a Better Utah. We have a group of legislators with us talking about how they reconcile their religious values with their political ideas. Quinn Monson is with us from Brigham Young University. We have legislators Carol Spackman Moss, Ben McAdams, Howard Stevenson, former Representative Holly Richardson also joining us. I want to ask about this idea of stewardship and cooperation. And I want to quote something from Professor Kim Smith. He's with BYU's business school, had a career in finance before he went to BYU. He told the Salt Lake Tribune this. He said, "You can't read the Book of Mormon without getting pounded about the equality of everything." Smith is quoted as saying, "The book is unambiguous about our responsibility to the poor." Now, we were talking about before, all right, then how does that translate into the way we, you know, create public policy? Ben McAdams, how do you read that idea, that obligation? And are you seeing the same thing as Kim Smith in the Book of Mormon, a lot about it, that it's very important in terms of the relationship between a society and its poor?
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think, coming back to what I said earlier, I don't think it's the role of government to ensure an equal outcome for every member of society. But it is important. I think government has a role to ensure an equal opportunity to advance ourselves. And then it's our free agency and it's our own efforts and hard work to pull ourselves up. But we need to provide people with equal opportunity. Hypothetical that I like to think of is, when we say, here's an entrance to a building, everybody is welcome to come into this building. By the way, there are 10 steps to get up into this building. So if somebody's born or due to life circumstances is in a wheelchair and another person is fully able, and to say everybody's welcome into this building, I think I would differ and say I think everybody is welcome to come into the building or into the education systems or to compete in the free market that we have. But role of government is to make sure we have a ramp so that everybody can get into the building regardless of what their starting point is.
But Holly Richardson, are you saying that's a misreading of the Book of Mormon? It's not about government. It's about how we as a society, private religious society, not a civil society. Is that how you're seeing it?
I think there's both, but I think for me, if you look at the way the church does, the LDS church does their welfare program, they expect that there is something in return, that you will work by the sweat of your brow. And, to not get too, we are going to get religious. I just went to state conference on Sunday, and our state president said, "It is a myth that we get to sit on our rear ends." I'm paraphrasing, by the way. That we get to sit on our rear ends for 30 years at the end of our life. God intended for us to work by the sweat of our brow to the end of our days. And that means that we are not entitled to sit around and let somebody else's work help us.
But okay, Carol Speckman-Moss, respond to that. So the idea here is then that all of these social programs are just a mess. They're trapping people. How do you respond to that?
Here's an example that I think would illustrate the contrast between government prevailing view and the LDS church values. A few years ago, there was a raid at the meatpacking plant in Cache Valley, and a number of parents who had young children were put in jail. And about that time, I was at a luncheon with some of the LDS leaders, and the question was asked about their view on immigration. And I'll never forget the response was, of course, we don't take political sides, but we are the Church of Jesus Christ. We minister to all people. And I think that's a really profound statement about what the church's values and why I espouse those values both in my religious life, my spiritual life, and in my political life.
Senator Stevenson, how do you explain the history of your church related to communitarianism and redistributing wealth and sharing common property? Was that a remnant of the past?
Well, I grew up in Fredonia, Arizona, which was part of the LDS stake that included Orderville.
Right.
The Orderville was one of the great experiments in the United Order. And even Mormons didn't do well under this United Order plan, even though it was voluntary to the degree that they belonged to the church. And that kind of socialized influence doesn't seem to work well. It works perfectly on paper, but because of the natural man, as Mormon doctrine would describe it, we don't do very well.
So that was a failed experiment from your perspective, because humans can't, like the Soviet Union or other failed socialist experiments, that's what that was.
Yeah, but it was voluntary.
Sure.
The Soviet Union was forced.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's
so
a big
So there's
distinction.
A big difference, but even the voluntary component didn't work well, and it was abandoned. But when we're looking...
So what do you take then from that past that you apply to today? Just that All right, we learned that natural man blows it, and it's not going to work. I mean, what do you take from that?
I believe we have an obligation. I think Adam Smith, his greater work was the theory of the moral sentiments, where he talked about our obligation to God and our fellow man to look out for each other.
But he didn't mean the government to do that.
No, each of us individually, as God blesses us, we are then obligated morally to bless our neighbors and look out for those who don't have what we have. And I believe the LDS Church teaches that. But the question is, should it be compelled through taxation and government redistribution of the wealth, or should it be through voluntary means? And I believe that the voluntary sector has been displaced by the compulsory nature of government saying we can do it more effectively, efficiently.
What do you think?
Once again, I think it's a question of scope, but I am thinking through our family budget, and we balance our budget, but there are plenty of things I'd like to buy and I don't. I don't know that public education is going to be provided voluntarily in a large society that we have today. It's one thing if I would probably write a check to benefit my neighbor's child. I don't know if I would dig into my pocket to bring $1,000 or $2,000 a year, whatever my contribution is to public education. I think it is a matter of scope. We talk about government programs that pull people down. There certainly are. We could find that. I don't think it's a matter of this is fire or ice, it's black or white. If there are government programs that aren't working, that are bringing people down and holding them down, they need to be fixed, and I support that, and Democrats support that. But it isn't we should have socialism or no government. There needs to be a moderate approach where we have government programs that are tweaked and adapted and work well.
So I think we all agree with that. But right now,
I'd like to invite you to the Democratic Party then.
We have a socialized educational structure and governance, as opposed to one that provides the funding, as Milton Friedman envisioned, where the parents are then free to choose where those dollars are spent. And I believe that when they have that choice, there's a better product.
I wonder if I could jump in for just a second.
Absolutely.
It's fascinating to me to listen to Ben, because every answer goes back to education for him. But when I talk about some of the differences that I see between the Republican and the Democrat Party, for me, they go back to these welfare programs and whether it's the government's role to provide not only a safety net but kind of this luxury hammock. And it goes back to choice and accountability, you know, really. And it's so interesting to me that it's a different – I think you talked about an ordering, right? A difference in priority. It's not that I don't prioritize education, but when I look at the parties, that is one difference that I'm hearing in Ben's answers. Yes, I love education, and he loves choice and limited government. But as we looked at which party we were going to belong to, I think that's one of the things that came out. I'm focused more on this. Free agency or moral agency, and so it's just been. I mean, that was
so. Wait,
a very
so say
contrast.
The distinction again, because I want Senator McAdams to respond to it. So the distinction is what?
I think it's a matter of prioritizing perhaps where you think the emphasis should be, and so for me, as I look at the Republican Party, my religious values come into play.
Wait, you're not saying I'm for free agency. Ben's not.
No, absolutely not. Ben is for it. Ben's for limited government. Yeah. Ben's for balancing his budgets.
Right.
We've all said that, right? But as a matter of looking at how the parties represent your views, right, which is the one that comes to the higher point of view? And mine is not that there's any role for government to say they should take priority over family. And I don't even know that Ben's saying that, but he's saying education. Every answer he's given has been education, education, education.
Quinn Monson, did you?
It really is a matter of emphasis here. I think there's a real push and pull in Mormon theology between communitarianism on one side and individualism on the other. You have this idea of agency and choice, avoiding sin, being personally responsible, and then you have this idea that we should help each other, we should help the poor, and even. You know, we reach the highest level of salvation together, not alone. We do it as a family, and so when you try to apply those ideas in the political world and apply them to government, you're going to have some error on either way. So for conservatives, you're going to see that people are getting help that shouldn't get it or getting too much help, and that we're erring on that side. And for liberals, it's going to be people are getting denied help that should have it. And we've just seen expressions of that in today in excess.
So does that explain the distinction between the two?
I think it really does explain in terms of for how the rank-and-file Latter-day Saint lines up with a political party or a political ideology. Some of it is really dependent on the kind of rhetoric that is emphasized by church leaders, both at the highest level and locally, and also there's equal responsibility here for how the parties talk about it emphasize.
Is it pessimism versus like optimism, like that, or this idea of the natural man is like? I think Senator Stevenson said that, right?
I wouldn't say pessimism and optimism. I would say it in terms of individualism and communitarianism. Both of them are good things.
Yeah.
And if you emphasize one, then you lean one direction. If you emphasize the other, you lean the other direction. Mm.
Sometimes I think our brains are wired differently. That is, Republicans or Democrats, because here we are, four of us who have similar religious views, and yet I see my views on the Democratic side and the values that we espouse as being so aligned with my religious views, and they see the same thing, where I may see some of their views as somewhat mean-spirited and limited. I just find it odd sometimes when people take issue with things that, like Ben and I, believe firmly in and don't see as being at odds at all with our religious values.
Let me I've got people standing in the aisles, and I don't want to keep you there. So let's start with a question from the audience. Go say your name and your question.
I'm Lloyd. My question comes in two parts, and the first part is Richardson Stevenson. I hear you on one side say, I believe in the free market because I believe in the goodness of humanity, that it'll take care of things. Then on the other hand, you say, I don't trust socialized programs because the natural man is evil and will ruin those things. So the first part is, how do you fit both of those into the same box? And the second part is in trying to split up between, everything's about individual, everything's about individual choice and the government choice. Is that a false dichotomy in our government, where as individuals we ultimately choose what our government asks of our society?
I go back to the founders who many prophets have said were inspired, were a collection of people who came together at a certain point in time to create this nation which would have freedom for the gospel to be restored in. But those founders who were inspired were guided by the principle of natural law and the idea of acting and not being acted upon to the extent that we don't infringe on others. And so the natural rights require that government be that protector of those basic rights. And so we shouldn't be injuring one another. And so we have police.
Is that where you were headed with that?
No, not at all. And so the question is, I hear the discussion saying on one end, it's all about individual choice is how we should take care of things. And the other end say, government shouldn't be compelling. I know some Republicans want to say we've got a tyrant, but we've got a democratically elected president. We've got a democratically elected government for the most part. And so to say that
that's not realistic. It's too idealistic, this idea.
I'm not saying it's too idealistic. I'm saying it is a rhetoric of simply it's either individual choice or government compelling a false dichotomy. Is it really both those things going on in a democratic republic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think of course there's both things going on, and it's a balance. And so when Quinn says it's a moderate view, so where on the spectrum are you? If we're in the middle, does that make us moderate?
So you're in the middle. Are you in the middle?
I'm in a Book of Mormon middle.
Ben McAdams, are you in the middle?
I think I'm in the middle.
You're in the middle. Senator Stevenson, are you in the middle?
I'm.
Is that a weird place for you?
Mostly in the middle, right of the middle.
Okay. I thought you'd say
I'm conservative. I define myself
but I think you don't just take a position one side or the other, states' rights, federalism. You look at individual issues, and then you apply what you think is the appropriate balance of our policy to that situation. I just don't see it as all one way or all the other way.
Right. Let's take it out. Forgive me for making you wait like that,
Thanks,
by the way.
No problem.
Thanks.
My name is Elizabeth, and I have a question
generally how to foster this community that we've been talking about today that seems very supportive of both Republican and Democratic views within the church. As a lifelong liberal and a lifelong member of the LDS Church, I've had plenty of opportunities to reconcile my faith with my politics. But it seems to me, you know, when I sit in Sunday school lessons and hear references to Glenn Beck and to conservative politicians, and, you know, frankly, it was difficult for me in 2008 to see the church's involvement in Proposition 8. Like, how do we foster more trust and love and support within the religious community so that we can feel comfortable holding these different views?
Can I ask you, before you get to that question, is the atmosphere that you're seeing, do you ascribe it to this sort of nasty political atmosphere right now, that it's so...
The partisan
bickering? Well, is that the sort of the milieu that you're talking about?
Well, the partisan bickering also kind of trickles down to religious bickering about these partisan issues.
Yeah.
And so how do we take out the bickering and allow people to have... And express, not just have. I mean, you can have whatever beliefs you have, but as soon as you express them and perhaps act on them, then you're seen as a threat or not part of our community.
The group.
Quinn
Monson.
I think there's two ways that moving forward that problem could be ameliorated. One is for Latter-day Saints to stop equating their political views with their religious views and justifying their political views solely because of their religious views. And I think we've seen ample evidence today that you can take very strong religious views that are widely agreed upon at this table up here and end up in a very different place. And so then it's incumbent upon Latter-day Saints who are strong conservatives to call that out when it happens even. But it's also incumbent upon Latter-day Saints who are liberal to not stay silent either. And I think I see a little bit, there's a notion in public opinion research called the spiral of silence, that when you get into a political minority, and Mormon liberals are definitely a political minority, you tend to be to close up a little bit, and it's hard to speak up, but you have to get over that. And when you see something happen, you have to reject it and just say and very, very nicely and sort of kindly say, yeah, I don't accept that. And I think other people around you will gather a little courage from that, and even if they disagree with you politically, they will respect your position. And I think if that happened more, if both of those things happened more, we'd see a better atmosphere.
Quinn Monson with us, the Associate Director of Brigham Young University's Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy. Carol Spackman Moss, the Democratic representative of District 37 in the State House of Representatives, is with us, along with Senator Ben McAdams. He represents Utah's 2nd Senate District. Holly Richardson, Republican political campaign advisor, a blogger, and a former state representative. And Howard Stevenson with us, the Republican representative of Senate District 11. We are in the Reagan Theater on the campus of Utah Valley University, and we need to take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER and Sirius XM Public Radio. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're on the campus of Utah Valley University. We're talking about the intersection of religion and politics with state lawmakers Carol Spackman Moss, Ben McAdams, Holly Richardson, and Howard Stevenson. Holly Richardson, a former state representative, I guess you should point out. Quinn Monson, also with us, an associate professor of political science at Brigham Young University. Holly Richardson, how do you square Utah's restrictive liquor laws with the ideas of free markets and personal responsibility?
I don't. I think they should be privatized. I think that that's one area where we as Republicans are sometimes hypocritical, and there's a move towards privatization. It never gets very far, and every year it comes up, and it's coming up again this year, and it's certainly something that I have talked about, promoted, and supported, You guys are going to make me look bad. I am a conservative Utah County Republican, and I voted for HB 116, the guest worker bill. And at the end of the day, for me, it was actually very spiritually based, because I prayed over that bill a lot. And there are competing values. I don't allow my kids to have a free pass. I don't think that they're entitled to, you know, sit around and have me provide a car when they turn 16. They have to work. They have to be responsible, contributing members of society, whatever. But they have to follow the rules, right? They can't just get on the road and drive 150 miles an hour. We've got laws and rules and regulations. And at the end of the day, I came down on the side of voting for HB 116 and have been compared now to Hitler, to Pelosi and Reid. I've been told I'm an embarrassment not only to the Republican Party but to the state of Utah and to the country, the United States, and would I please leave. And it's been relentless. And because I've spoken out about my views and why, both on immigration and on liquor laws and on some of the other things where we as Republicans are somewhat hypocritical, but it cuts both ways. I mean, the Democrats do that too. So, I have become the lightning rod for that issue. And that's so fascinating to me. I didn't speak to the bill. I didn't sponsor the bill. I didn't promote the bill. And yet here it is almost a year later, and I'm still getting hammered for voting for that bill. But the vocal population of the LDS vocal population opposed to that bill is getting smaller numerically because they are so strident in their views.
Representative Carol Spackman Moss, can you be pro-choice and a good Mormon?
Yes, I believe you can. And I think the church has, the church has made it very clear in terms of when they believe that abortion is acceptable. And I ascribe to those tenets. But there are those now who would do away with even situations of rape and incest and the life of the mother and say, and again, I think they're extreme in their views, but they're pandering to a certain extreme view of the Republican Party that would do away with any rights for a woman. But I think, again, being pro-choice has to do with saying, I have individual rights and responsibilities that the government shouldn't interfere with. They're highly personal decisions. And so I've never found that at odds with my beliefs.
Holly Richardson, what do you say?
This is one area we totally disagree on. And I believe that all life is valuable and that life begins at conception and that choosing to kill an unborn baby is killing an unborn baby.
If you're a Mormon and you believe in abortion rights, that's problematic. You don't think you're a worthy Mormon?
You know, I'd really have real struggles with that, but my views are very stridently on the side of pro-life. But I think when you take into account the agency component, for me, I can understand the church's position of saying rape, incest, and life of the mother. That changes the component of choice. The mom did not have a choice to get pregnant, or perhaps you know has the choice to make a value judgment on whether one life is more valuable than the other. But other than that, absolutely not. Just not.
I think there's a real distinction to be made here between what you do as an individual and a spouse as an individual versus what you advocate in terms of policy. And so what the church would do, as I understand it, would on abortion or any number of other questions, would limit what you can do personally in terms of having an elective abortion or not, or counseling somebody to have one, versus what you do and advocate in the policy world. And so you might choose to say, well, I would never have an abortion because I think that it's wrong and the church doesn't want me to do that. But you could also conceivably be pro-choice in a policy stance. And my best example of this is Senator Harry Reid. So at the time, a few years back, the Congress was debating a federal amendment to ban gay marriage to the Constitution. And the church issued a statement supporting that. There was a clear policy statement saying we support this amendment to this effort. And then it went further and said we encourage church members to speak out on this. And Harry Reid's response when he got asked by reporters about it was to say, well, I immediately went to the floor of the Senate and spoke out against it. And not because he believed in gay marriage personally. I don't know what he believes personally, but because from a policy standpoint, he didn't agree that it should be banned at the federal level and so on, and he spoke out against it. And I think the church allows for that on any number of issues, including issues that hammer ardent conservatives and ardent liberals in terms of abortion on one side or immigration on the other. I think there are strong conservatives that struggled all last year in this state to reconcile their hardline views on immigration with what the church was saying on immigration and are still struggling, apparently. And I think the same is true on other issues. And again, it pulls me toward this more nuanced view that says you can't equate the theology and teachings of the church with a political ideology lock, stock, and barrel. It's very nuanced, and it demands some nuance.
Quinn Monson, let me ask you this finally. Brief response, if you would. But so we know most Mormons are aligned with the Republican Party, with conservative ideology. Is it always going to be that way? Is it changing at all?
There's no current data that suggests that it's changing, except that if you look at recent cohort data, that the youngest cohort of Latter-day Saints might be less Republican than before. And I choose that word on purpose. It's less Republican. So it's not that there's suddenly a surge in Mormons identifying as Democrats or majority Democrat, but it could be. But the change that will occur, if it does and when it does, will occur when both church members and leaders begin to emphasize different things, and when the parties also choose to emphasize different things. And it comes from both sides. So it's not the church's fault entirely. It's not the church members' fault entirely. Some of it lies at the feet of the parties as well.
Quinn Monson, Associate Director of Brigham Young University Center for the Study of Elections and Democracy. Carol Spackman Moss, the Democratic representative from District 37 in the State House of Representatives. Ben McAdams was with us, Democratic representative of Utah's 2nd Senate District. Holly Richardson, a blogger, a Republican political campaign advisor, former state representative, and State Senator Howard Stevenson represents Senate District 11. Thank you all very much for being with us. Radio West is a production of KUER News. Today's show was produced in partnership with the Alliance for a Better Utah. Many thanks to Marianne Martindale and Josh Cantor. Our thanks to our engineer, Lewis Downey. Also to the staff of the Reagan Theater here at Utah Valley University, John Bullock and Adam Winterton. The program produced by Benjamin Bombart and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabrizio.